Hell Yes Life, episode 22. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a hell yes life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. I am your host, Norman Bell, and I am excited to be here. How about you? You want to give it? Let's do a hell yes together, shall we? One, two, three. Hell yes. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. Now, whether you are a creative or conscious entrepreneur, a speaker, author, or coach, artist or musician, a world traveler or world changer, or hey, maybe you're in your 9-to-5, but you just want to move towards these things, well, this is the place to hear inspiring stories and actionable tips from our amazing guests that will motivate you to move toward and live your Hell Yes Life. The Hell Yes Life podcast releases new episodes every Tuesday, and show notes can be found at hellyeslife.com. Now, Hell Yes Lifers, if you want to write a review, please visit hellyeslife.com/HYL iTunes. And when you do, include your business name or website, and I'll mention it when I give you a shout out on the show. Also, I encourage you to join us in our Hell Yes Life Facebook community, where we are supporting each other to move towards our Hell Yes Lives. Now, starting in May, we're going to have daily themes and weekly opportunities to check in on your goals and share about your dreams and current projects. So to join the community, visit hellyeslife.com/Facebook. That's hellyeslife.com/Facebook. Now, lastly, I would love to hear directly from you, Hell Yes Lifers. What are you liking about the show? What's not working for you? What do you wish I was doing more or less of? Which guests have you particularly enjoyed? And who would you love to see next on the show? Well, if you want to have some input to the Hell Yes Life podcast, please email me at hellyeslife@gmail.com. That's hellyeslife@gmail.com. And let me know what you think. Okay, now let's get into today's episode. Today, my guest is Nick Loper, who is the host of The Side Hustle Show. Nick's podcast has been one of the top five shows I've listened to over the past few years as I started down the road towards podcasting and online entrepreneurship, so I am super excited to have him on the show today. Through his podcast, Nick helps people earn money outside of their day job. He's an author, online entrepreneur, and lifelong student in the game of business, he says. His latest role is as chief side hustler at SideHustleNation.com, a growing community and resource for aspiring and part-time entrepreneurs. On the show, we talked about how Nick got started on his journey as a side hustler, how doing affiliate marketing for a shoe company led him into the world of internet marketing, what Nick's first side hustle consisted of, what happened on Nick's breakthrough episode of his podcast, that's episode 64, and much more. I'm really excited to share my interview with Nick Loper with you, so let's go ahead and dive in. Nick Loper, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Norman. Thanks for having me.
Nick, are you ready to tell us about your Hell Yes Life?
Hell yes.
All right. Let's do this. So I always like to start off, and I should say first off that I'm excited to have you on the show, Nick. I've been following your podcast for the past few years or so. I'd say it's been among the top five podcasts I've listened to, the Side Hustle podcast. And I'm just thrilled to have you on the show. I'm kind of having a fan moment here.
All right. Well, I'm trying to break my way into the top three.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. So tell me, I always like to start off by asking our guests, what is your hell yes? And by that, I mean, what is it that makes you come alive? What's your passion that really lights you up?
That's a good question, man. What I think really gets me excited is the opportunity to control your own calendar. And by that, I mean, you know, getting up and getting to work on stuff that you want to work on and not stuff that you have to work on. And I feel really blessed to be able to do that most days. Probably not 100% of the time just yet, but most days for sure.
Awesome. And so when did you identify that this was your hell yes, that this was the sort of thing that you wanted to move towards?
pretty early on. Like, I think I was bit by the entrepreneurial bug in college, if not before. Like, I mean, I was trying to sell candy at summer camp, and I was trying to, you know, sell baseball cards at the end of the sidewalk and stuff that kids do before that. But I had this painting business in college, actually in your neck of the woods up in Seattle. And what it was, they called it an internship. Basically, we're going to assign you a territory. We're going to assign you a zip code. And it's on you to go out and paint as many houses as you can over the course of the summer. And sure, we'll teach you how to estimate the job. We'll teach you how to, you know, go through the sales process. And, you know, almost as an afterthought, we're going to teach you how to paint. So it was just kind of like trial by fire in the world of entrepreneurship, like how to go out and sell these jobs and really convince homeowners to trust you with their, you know, with their biggest asset. Was kind of intimidating at first, but kind of a fun challenge to overcome too. And so we ended up doing, over the course of two summers, probably close to $150,000 in business. Wow. And that was, you know, that was awesome. And it's like a bunch of 19-year-olds with paint sprayers. So like everything that can go wrong does go wrong, but you kind of work through it. And there was some really, really stressful times, but also some really rewarding times to be able to, especially to sit back at the end of the week and, you know, look from the sidewalk and say, man, that house looks good. You know, we did that. So that was kind of fun. And at the end of the summer, like on this company's intranet at the time, I mean, maybe they would just call it like an internal blog at this point, they post this essay, said, hey, we're sorry, CollegeWorks has probably ruined your life. And the essay went on to explain, like, look, if you made it this far, you've had this taste of working for profits and not wages, and you've had this taste of being the boss and, you know, all this stuff. And at the end, it was like, you can't go back. Like, there's no going back to being a regular employee, to punching the clock 9 to 5. Like, that's probably not going to work for you anymore. And they were 100% right. And so it was like kind of my first real job out of school. It didn't take long to really recognize, like, okay, I really have no desire to climb the ladder here. I got to figure out what's my escape plan going to be.
So you were figuring out your escape plan right off the bat. And even the job that you had was already preparing the foundation for your world of, in entrepreneurship. That is, I think kind of a gift, it sounds like.
It really was to have that. And bless, you know, my wife, my girlfriend at the time, because I was like, had a lot of hesitation about this, because, you know, there's always the company pitches you on, like, well, you're going to make, you know, $7,000 over the course of the summer. And relative to the part-time job, you know, I had the previous summer, I was like, man, that's a lot of money, especially in college. And like, you know, is this a scam? Like, is this a pyramid scheme? Like, what's going on? And she's like, look, if it sucks, it's 3 months of your life. Like, it's not the end of the world. And so, you know, I was really happy that she kind of encouraged me to do it. And there were some weeks where I didn't see a lot of her, you know, during that summer. But like you said, hey, it's 3 months, you can suck it up. You can do anything for that length of time. So that kind of was the gateway.
So then what happens? Because, you know, you could think, oh, and so then you went into a career in painting. But what was the next step after that?
The next step after that was, so, you know, back in school in the next couple of years, so after graduation, like, I didn't really have a business at that point. Like, I had a little side project that was making a little bit of money, and that was in the world of affiliate marketing, and specifically was helping companies sell shoes online. And the reason that I got into that was I had interned at a company that was selling shoes online, kind of one of the pioneering online footwear retailers back in the early days of e-commerce. And that was my first exposure to internet marketing, to Google AdWords, to affiliate marketing, to pay-per-click advertising, to any of that stuff. And it was really, really cool. And so when that internship ended and, you know, kind of had a few months left before the end of school, like, I started doing that on my own time, or started doing affiliate marketing on my own time, like with Google AdWords. I don't even know if this is still like allowed, basically direct linking to specific models of shoes on these different retailer sites with my affiliate link. So it's like, if you're searching on Google for, you know, Nike Shox model XYZ, whatever. Like, I'm going to find where you can find the best deal of that and put an ad up there for that and collect a commission on anybody who, you know, buys through that link. So I started doing that with like a dollar a day budget just because still in college and didn't want to lose any money. But it proved to be profitable. And then ultimately that led to kind of my first official side hustle, which was a footwear comparison shopping site. So reasoning, like, look, all these little text ads are really hard to manage. The prices keep changing. Stuff keeps going out of stock. Like, the way to scale this, or what I thought would be the way to scale this, was to build out like a full database of these, you know, all the shoes and all the prices and all the stores where you could kind of like, hey, spit back out the best price, and ran that business for a long time. That was the vehicle that ultimately let me quit my, you know, post-graduation corporate job.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of a corporate job did you have at the time?
So I was working at the bottom rung of the Ford Motor Company corporate ladder there in their marketing and sales division for their parts and service side of the business. So, you know, big company, they make money in a few ways. Like, the three big ones are like they make cars and they make parts for those cars, and then they sell financing on those cars. So it's kind of on the parts and financing side.
Mm-hmm. And so the whole time that you're there, are you still, you know, you're already kind of, you know, at least one half foot out the door with your potential ideas going on the side? Did you ever have a moment where you're like, yeah, Ford Motor Company, I think I'm going to try that out?
It kind of fell into it. Like, it was, you know, senior year and interviewing, and, you know, these guys offered me a job, and they were the only people who really did. So I was like, all right, well, I guess this is what I'm going to do. They moved me across the country, which is a cool experience, kind of uproot, you know, to uproot from, you know, family and friends and everything. You know, I'd grown up pretty much my entire life in Washington. So to move to the other side of the country was, you know, a unique thing to be able to do. That was part of their, that's part of their game plan as a corporate strategy, was like, we're going to, you know, move these kids as far away from home as possible. So they're going to be like super loyal to the company. And it, not that it necessarily backfired, because I don't think it probably would have been the same had they left me in Seattle. You know, still would have spent, you know, my nights and weekends trying to build something, on the side. But that's what ended up happening. So I had a lot of free time nights and weekends, especially weeknights, to try and make the shoe thing happen.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about that first side hustle. So when you did that, it was a footwear comparison tool, like an online tool.
Yeah. So it would be like Price Grabber or Next Tag. I don't think compared now, Google Shopping is probably like the biggest one. I don't know that comparison shopping is as big as it once was, but for a time, I think everybody now just starts their product search on Amazon. But for a time, people would start their product search on Google, and, you know, these comparison engines would rank really well. And, you know, you could find out where to get the best price on whatever you were looking for. So my theory was, hey, if I could build a better mousetrap specifically in this footwear vertical, you know, I could get a lot of clicks and I could get a lot of sales or affiliate commissions through there by being more relevant, delivering a tighter algorithm, and, you know, even working directly with the advertisers to come up with some custom deals. So that was kind of fun to integrate those offers and coupons into the price comparison table.
So to come back to the theme of this show about, you know, kind of finding your hell yes or your passion there, you know, I think a lot of people might think at this point, well, Nick's passion or hell yes was footwear. But no, you can already hear it in your story there that it's kind of about coming up with these side business ideas, these potential ideas that can, you know, create independent income. Is that right? Or did you feel that at the time, like, this wasn't your final stop, the footwear comparison tool? This was just one of many ideas.
You're right. I didn't really care about the product at all. It just happened to be a good niche to go into, kind of a business model that I stumbled into. What was exciting was building out the processes and trying to figure out, okay, what's the best way to get traffic to this site? You know, how do we optimize this page? You know, all of that was kind of fun challenge. How do we work, you know, with the outsourced development team? How do we work with the virtual assistants to kind of like manage the day-to-day database stuff? Like, all of that was super fun. And that was really what was exciting. But the actual shoes, not so much. It's just kind of a means to an end.
Yeah, but the world of internet marketing was something that came naturally to you, like digging into that and learning every little nook and cranny of it.
Well, it was really cool because it's something that is uniquely scalable in a way. And same thing with this podcast, right? It takes the same amount of effort to record this show, whether 10 people listen or whether 10,000 people listen. And so that was kind of the cool thing with the shoe business as well. It's like, well, we already created all these pages. And so if we can just figure out how to get more eyeballs to them, you know, that theoretically should add to the bottom line every month.
Okay. So then what next after the shoe footwear comparison tool?
So that was, started in kind of 2004, 2005, 2006, when it was kind of getting up and running. It was 2008 when I left Ford, turned in the keys to the company car and went full time into it. And, you know, really ran that business heads down for quite a few years until kind of summer 2014. During that time, of course, had to start, you know, half a dozen other projects, so probably more. And most of those are, you know, in a dust heap on some dark corner of the internet. But a couple of them have survived. And one of those that is still lives to see the light of day is the Side Hustle Nation blog and podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so tell me a little bit of an origin story around how you started the podcast and the blog.
You bet. So I probably naively thought that the shoe thing could have been my thing. You know, I could ride this out for however long. But it became apparent at several points during the life of that business that, like, okay, this isn't going to last forever. So, you know, you need to diversify. You got to figure something else out. And it was during one of those particularly low points of doing some soul searching and be like, well, what do I want to be known for? When people Google me, you know, what am I most excited about? And you kind of hinted toward this. It's like, well, it's clearly not shoes and it's clearly not house painting, but, you know, the idea of, you know, this part-time entrepreneurship, this lower risk brand of entrepreneurship is something I'm really excited about. And on top of that, the blog kind of gave me an outlet to talk about some of the, you know, experiments and experiences that were going on in my life, but even more importantly, through the podcast, to reach out to some really incredible entrepreneurs who, you know, have been there, done that, and figured out how to build their business. So I've selfishly taken a lot of their advice along the way and applied that in my own work.
Now, did you, I feel like, is the term side hustle, that's a term, that's kind of a general term. You didn't coin that term, did you?
No, I didn't invent it. I can't claim to have invented it, but I would just say something you're doing outside of your day job to make money.
Right. Although I will say, just to credit you, that when I hear the phrase side hustle, I do think of you and your show. So good on you for that. So you start the show. So take me to that early time. I mean, this is just almost for my benefit. take me to that time that I'm at now, where you're just thinking about launching this thing. You know, what were some of the things going through your mind at the time? I mean, to me, I'm experiencing that, you know, this liftoff period can be some of the most challenging times when it's not in existence yet. What were some of the things going through your head that were either stopping you from moving forward or pushing you forward?
There's a lot of inertia to keep you from taking action. And that was kind of what was going on in my life. Like, I ordered the microphone and, you know, learned, you know, studied some tutorial on like how to set up a podcast. And it was probably still like a month before actually scheduling an interview, and you have it on your to-do list, right? And then you realize as a solopreneur, like, look, until you act on this, like, nothing is going to happen. And so it took a little bit to kind of get over that hump. And initially, I'll be honest, I was worried about like committing to doing a weekly show. Like, I'm going to run out of guests. I'm going to run out of things to say, you know, even the hosting for the show. Like, I knew nothing about, I thought iTunes would host the show, not realizing, okay, you got to have a separate media host for these MP3 files. And it was $15 a month. And I guess it still is. Had it been $25, $30 a month, the show probably wouldn't exist, because it's like, what am I committing myself to for the rest of eternity, or the rest of time I want the show to be live to the world? Like, that was kind of an intimidating thing. But, you know, getting over that and just scheduling the first calls. And the first few episodes are horrible. Like, I think it's probably 50 episodes before I feel like I really hit my stride as a host. But you know, something that's still striving to get better at, you know, each and every week. And it's just been, it's been a ton of fun. Like the people that I've connected with and, you know, the conversations that we've had and some of the feedback from listeners, it's just, I mean, you're going to love doing the show. It's just, it's a hell yes thing for me. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm already loving it. So that's good. Good to hear that it took 50 episodes for you. I'm sure I'll get better and better, but I'm already enjoying it. So that's a good sign.
Well, you've got a speaking back. So you've got an advantage. You've got like this whole like public speaking background that I definitely never had.
Yeah. Well, it can help. Let's just say, I want to go get to that. I typically will ask people, tell us about a big challenge that you faced. And I might ask about a different point in your life, but just to hone in on that first 50 episodes period there again, part of this is for my benefit, but there might've been some times in there where you're like, oh God, that was a terrible episode. Oh no, I don't know where I'm going to get my next guest. what kept you going in those early days when you easily could have quit? Did you commit yourself to doing this, or did you set a goal for yourself? What did you keep in mind for yourself?
I don't know what I probably would have said something like, okay, I'm going to do this for, 6 months or something and like see if there's any traction there. And by some people's standards, there really wasn't, but to me, like I didn't have anything to measure it against. So I was just looking at that Libsyn chart of downloads and seeing it kind of making that slow and steady climb up and to the right and being like, okay, there's this audience isn't huge, but it's there and it's, something that was rewarding to do. What really flipped the switch for the show in particular was a little over a year into it. So this is actually episode 64. I remember because it was like, finally realized that, look, the show itself is not a business, just like a blog itself is not a business, but it's like, it's a content marketing channel. And once I started treating it that way and getting over like, the John Lee Dumas, I'm going to, sell $1 million worth of sponsorships or whatever. Like, look, that's great. That's one potential business model, but 60 episodes in, like it's not going to work or it's not working for me yet. So specifically what happened was I decided to create an episode specific lead magnet for just about every episode. So it's probably, I've started in episode 64, there's probably 100 or 150 of these out there right now. And each one of those is like a different way for somebody to get onto my email list. And it's completely changed like the entire trajectory of the business. So at that time had, around 1,000 subscribers. So this would be like summer 2014. 3 months later, it was 3,000. 3 months after that, it was 6,000. And it's just continued to snowball after that. But that consistent practice of putting these like, content upgrades into the shows has been the inflection point or the turning point moment for the Side Hustle Show for sure.
Nice, nice. And just to back up for, I'm sure a lot of people understand what a lead magnet is and understand internet marketing, but for those that don't, what's a lead magnet? And can you talk about what you offered in that first one?
Sure. So what I'm offering on the show is basically a summary, like a highlight reel summary. Here are the top tips of what the guest talked about today or what we covered in today's show. And you can download that on the website in exchange for your email address. So you see this most often with like, grab my ebook in the sidebar or stuff like that. Grab my cheat sheet in the podcasting world. I've seen people do transcriptions. I've seen people do like the highlight reel thing, cheat sheets or checklists or even like extended interviews. Like my friend Grant Baldwin did this for a while and it was a great hook. It's like, dude, I just listened to half an hour, 40 minutes of this conversation. And now you're cutting it off. You're telling me there's 10 minutes more of bonus material, but you got to go to my website to get it. It's like, I'm like partially annoyed at you, but like partially like, yeah, I want to know the bonus material. So I'm sure that was really effective for him.
Oh yeah. It'd be hard to resist. It'd be like, oh, you won't believe what he says in minute number 7. Oh,
I know.
Well, great. So then, I just want you to take us forward from there. So things start taking off and you've been doing this for the past couple of years or so. So where take us up to date now.
Up to date. So the Side Hustle Nation has really become kind of my main focus. There's still a handful of other like affiliate sites that I run. The shoe business kind of died a slow and painful death, but there's still a handful of other projects going on. And then there are some other like side hustle projects that kind of all fall under that side hustle umbrella, like, you know, freelancing or, you know, playing around with e-commerce or playing around with online courses or self-publishing and stuff. And all of that gives me something to write about. Like, it's, you know, fuel, content fuel. Like, hey, even if this flops, at least I'll have something, you know, to blog about. But on top of that, they're just kind of fun challenges to do. And a lot of times it's taking advantage of, you know, marketplaces like Amazon or marketplaces like eBay or Udemy or even Fiverr in some cases, you know, just trying to play around and see what works out there.
That's cool. So if I'm interpreting this right, so your Side Hustle Nation podcast has become your full-time gig, and now you have side hustles to your Side Hustle Nation podcast, which is that right?
Hustles on hustles.
It's hard to keep track. Are the side hustles, are they connected to the podcast or are they completely separate? I'm just wondering, how have you gone about monetizing the podcast exactly? Or have you?
Yeah, so the podcast is monetized the Side Hustle Nation site, and I'll include like the blog and podcast kind of under that umbrella, is monetized in a handful of different ways. The podcast now gets direct sponsorship, so just, you know, ad reads for companies like FreshBooks or Teachable or Design Crowd and stuff, which was such a thrill. So this just started last year, and like, you know, I would I've done the show for free for so long, like I would continue to do it for free because, you know, it's just been, you know, such a cool experience to do, but like to get paid and have it be directly profitable was really rewarding. The first thing that I sold on Side Hustle Nation was about 7 or 8 months deep into my, you know, blogging journey, was a private mastermind hosted weekly by me. I had an email list of around 700 at that time and got 6 or 7 applications for that. So we filled that group up and ran that for a couple years. Kind of taking a break on that now to kind of retool it, rethink it, try and make it more impactful for the members over there. But that was the first way that the site made money before, you know, anyone ever, you know, wanted to sponsor anything. The affiliate marketing, you know, once an affiliate marketer, always an affiliate marketer, is still the primary driver. So an example, a recent example of an affiliate promotion, I guess, that did really well was around New Year's. Udemy is an online education platform where, you know, you can post your own courses, but you can also take courses from other people on whatever topic they're an expert in. So I put together this massive list of like all these Udemy courses that, you know, people had bought the previous year through, you know, affiliate tracking and other courses that I, you know, wanted to take myself, and like, these look interesting. And it was like the 134 best Udemy courses for freelancers, entrepreneurs, and side hustlers, right? And it's a blatant affiliate play. Like, it's a giant affiliate link farm, right? Like, that's all this post is. But yet in the comments, people are like, oh my gosh, thank you for putting this together. Like, I just bought 5 courses, you know, thank you for compiling this. And it was awesome. I even got, you know, I reached out to a lot of the instructors, be like, hey, I featured you in this post, and I even got them, a lot of them, to share it. And only one guy was like, dude, why am I going to share your affiliate link form? But everybody else was, you know, pretty amenable to it. And so that was an example of an affiliate marketing play that, you know, I think added value to subscribers or to readers, but also, you know, added some good income to my bottom line. Last year it made around $7,000, and this year it made around $11,000.
Wow, that's great. So you got your however you want to put this, fingers in a lot of different pots and a lot of different avenues for income, passive income coming in. So it sounds like you're well on your journey into your hell yes life, right? I want to take a moment now to think about our listeners, our Hell Yes Lifers, who might be earlier in their journey. Maybe they're in their car going to work right now, going to that job that they don't feel that great about. Maybe they've got a side hustle in mind, but they haven't taken an action on it. And I'd like to talk a little bit about any thoughts or advice you have to those people that about, maybe not about tips and tools and things like that, but more about mindset. I was looking at one of your blogs blog posts, you quoted the author John Acuff, who says, "Don't compare your beginning to someone else's middle." Could you tell me a little bit about that, or any other thoughts you have for these listeners?
Yeah, so John obviously is a fantastic author and one of the funniest, you know, public speakers that you'll ever have a chance to see. But a couple of things come to mind. You know, if you're that person kind of stuck in this cubicle drollery, you know, making that commute, doing all this stuff. Two ingredients for a happy life. I think this is like a Freud quote, or paraphrasing a Freud quote, is love and work. And so, you know, I probably can't help you with the love side of things, but on the work side, you know, this is where your hell yes life comes in. It's like you're working on stuff that you care about with people that you care about, and you have 100% control over that. You know, maybe you only have 10 minutes a day, half hour a day, an hour a day to do that, but you have control over that time. So figuring out, okay, what do I want to work on during that time? The other component of that is a book that really kind of resonated with me called The Slight Edge, which talks about that daily practice of putting in that 10 minutes, of putting in that half hour every day, you know, knowing that, you know, do it or don't do it, you're not going to see results right away. Like going to the gym, you know, go to the gym today, I'm not going to have a six pack tomorrow. Don't go to the gym today, probably not going to die of a heart attack tomorrow. But like the consistent practice of either doing it or not doing it, okay, now over time, I start to see some results from that. And one example actually comes, you know, from my brother. He's a tutor up in Seattle and trying to build his side hustle. And he had, no matter how many hours I work today, 5 minutes every night, I'm going to work on my website, I'm going to work on my side business. And, you know, once I get going, I might spend 10 minutes, half an hour. That's totally fine. That's allowed. But, you know, I'm going to make a little calendar checkbox, like to put that 5 minutes in. And, you know, over the course of the month, it starts to add up, it starts to compound. And that's really where kind of the slight edge starts to take effect. The same thing with publishing the podcast every week. It's just, you know, that consistent habit where you kind of get into this rhythm, and it, you know, becomes second nature.
You know, I have found that to be completely the case for myself. I have this little 10-minute practice. I just set my timer on my phone for 10 minutes. And if that's all the time I have to work on my hell yes that day, then that's enough, you know? And it's just like, it is this idea of, you know, doing it as a practice rather than like, I'm trying to immediately get success at this. And then I notice what happens is that I start to see more opportunities to work on it, because I'm regularly putting this time in, even just this 10 minutes. And it's like, oh, wait, now I've got a half hour on Saturday I could work on it. Oh, wait, I got a couple of hours on Tuesday night. So it seems to start to build on itself.
Yeah. And hopefully once you start to see some initial momentum, like that gives you motivation to keep going, right? Sometimes starting isn't the hardest part. It's like staying started.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, I've definitely found that to be the case with other things I've tried. I'll get like maybe 6 weeks in. That's usually about the time where it's like, yeah, I'm not so interested in this anymore. On to the next thing.
Right. So this is perfect. You know, we're recording this like beginning of February. So it's like those New Year's resolutions are like just starting to wear off.
Yeah. Well, I've already committed to my listeners on a previous episode that I will be here for sure every week until the end of 2017 here. So 52 episodes, you can guarantee that I'll be here. So
all right.
That's one way I can do that is by holding myself accountable to people.
We'll hold you to it.
Okay, thanks. So let me ask you this, Nick. So let's think of our Hell Yes Lifers out there. Maybe they've got an idea or two about what's a side hustle to pursue. How do they know it's the right one?
It's the right one if you – like trying to think of how to phrase this. So I don't know. Like, I don't think there is a such thing as a perfect side hustle, but like the right one is the one – that you're still excited to work on. There came a point, so I was doing a lot of freelance editing, like nonfiction book editing is one of my side hustle projects. And it got to be a point where it's like, you just find yourself saying no to more clients. And you're like, okay, that's a good sign. Like, you don't want to do that anymore. And you're like, okay, that's a good sign. Like, okay, I don't need to do this anymore. I'm going to focus my time and energy someplace else, or it's not worthwhile. You see this a lot with like, like Uber drivers, right? Like Uber's got the side hustle commercial going on right now. And it's like, well, you know, we keep cutting rates and all of a sudden, you know, they have quite a bit of turnover on the driver side. And so it's like, well, you know, at a certain point, people are going to decide, yeah, that's not worth it. It's a fantastic way to make money to get started, you know, very low barrier to entry. And just, you know, you can turn on the app and begin, you know, earning extra money. But, you know, if you dread doing it, like that's the last thing you need in your life.
Right, right. So pay attention to that, the feelings that are coming up when you're actually doing this activity. Is it lighting you up, making you feel like, you know, you're living your hell yes life, or is it making you feel like, oh gosh, I'm just creating another job for myself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a kind of turn towards the future for you then. I always like to ask our guests what your big vision for your Hell Yes life is for the future. Now, you've already accomplished a lot, but I'm going to assume that you don't feel like you're at the end of your journey and you have maybe more in store. And what I like to call this is your cringeworthy vision. And what I mean by that is that there's nothing wrong with the vision, but you cringe just thinking about sharing it with other people because it's such a big vision. And now I'm giving you the chance to share that with our audience.
And now it'll be out in the open. Well, I'm horrible at, you know, vision planning, and this is something that, you know, my wife and I have talked about and struggled with. It's like, you know, you're so busy in the day to day that, you know, you rarely just take a moment to be like, is this what we want? Like, is this getting us closer to what we want? Like, it's a hard conversation to even have. So this, you know, this cringeworthy vision, you know, very happy with where I'm at. I don't know if, you know, the work that I'm doing today looks very different from the work I was doing 5 years ago and the work that I was doing 10 years ago. So it's hard to say, okay, what is the future going to look like? So I'm like punting on this cringeworthy vision. it would be awesome. Like on the surface, I think it would be awesome to, you know, have my wife quit her job, which, you know, she probably could, but it's like also the question of like, well, does she want to? Like maybe she enjoys the challenge of engineering work and stuff like that. And I enjoy having the home office to myself all day. So like there's this weird, you know, balance between like, well, is that really the direction that we want to go? So I don't know. I think I'm going to pass on that.
Okay. Oh no, that's fair enough. And you know, some people do that work of like, oh, well, you know, here's where I want to be in 5 years or 10 years. And some people are perfectly happy with letting things develop day by day, week by week, whatever. I've had other guests on the show too. It's like, yeah, I try not to think too far out ahead. I just kind of am, you know, focused on, you know, doing my passion, my hell yes, as much as I can. So that is totally fine.
Well, in a way it's like easier that way if you're like, okay, you know, by 2020 I want to have, you know, this vineyard house in San Luis Obispo and it's going to be awesome, we're going to host, you know, weddings in the backyard. Like if you have like that well defined of a vision, fantastic. And you kind of like reverse engineer, well, okay, that house is going to cost, you know, 2.7 million or whatever it's going to be, and then you can kind of like reverse engineer how you're going to get there. But I don't know. I guess I got to sit down with Bryn and see what's on her mind.
Well, okay. You can come back and let us know what you guys came up with.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so, you know, thanks so much for joining us to round us out. I'd love, you already did give us a reference, the slight edge you mentioned. But I'm wondering if you have one other tip or quote or resource that has helped you in your journey that you'd like to share with our Hell Yes Lifers.
Another book that really resonated with me and kind of solidified a, you know, shift in business. I read it right around the time I was transitioning into kind of starting Side Hustle Nation and a couple of these other projects. It's called The Go-Giver. And it's a, you know, really short book kind of told in parable, like a lot of business books are, about leading with value, about being helpful first, and then worrying about the monetization later. So that was really the focus, you know, starting out the podcast and the blog. And those are the projects that have had the most success versus the ones that I've started you know, out of a purely like profit motive, out of like, well, I think there's an opportunity there. And those ones, like, I'm always more hesitant to slap my name on, and it just they don't end up going anywhere. Like, I started a wine related site because we kind of like live in wine country. It's like, I don't know anything about wine. The content was horrible. Like, the only reason I wanted people to come there was to like click on my affiliate link, and of course nobody ever did because there's no reason to. And so that's kind of the GoGiver really solidified, like, look, you know, be helpful first and trust that the opportunity, the monetization opportunity will follow. So that's what I've tried to apply the rest of the time.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, if you don't have that passion driving you from the inside, then that outward sort of, those outward goals are only going to take you so far, I would say. So, go ahead and tell us where on the internet we can find you.
Best place to find me is sidehustlenation.com. Of course, would love to have you tune into the Side Hustle Show podcast with new part-time business ideas every week. And that's it for me.
Awesome, Nick. Yes, please check out Nick's podcast. We'll have links in the show notes. And we'll have links to some of those episodes that he mentioned as well. So Nick, to close out our time together, I'd like to say hell yes on the count of three. Are you ready to do that?
All right. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Now go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. And then we'll say it. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hell yes.
Oh,
sorry. I went too fast.
Oh, that's perfect. Thanks a lot, Nick.
You bet, man.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a hell yes life.